WTIC, good afternoon. So, it looks like a new Democrat approach, or maybe just more flack in the marketplace of ideas to keep everybody off balance. Maybe to make it seem like there is a plan to create room for them to make one. Who knows what they're up to? Well, maybe Tom Scott does. Let's check in with him. Tom, how are you, sir?
Hi, Todd. One does not have to be clairvoyant to predict that this is where they're going. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. And I think Looney in particular, one of the more serious liberal theoreticians we've had up there ever, is no dope. I mean, he knows what he's doing, and he would not ask his own Democrat members to walk the plank and to keep this issue alive if he didn't think there was at least a theoretical mathematical path of getting to 18 votes in the state Senate. He just wouldn't do it. He would tell the governor, forget it, you know, fly the white flag and let's move on.
Yes, but why does this indicate that we're at that juncture? Why couldn't this just be some propaganda to satisfy the governor's desire to keep things open? The governor would say, just leave the avenue open until we get to the special session, and let me see what I can come up with.
Well, ideologue that he is, Martin Looney is, let's give credit where credit is due. He understands tactics and strategy. And he wouldn't just do this to placate the governor, because there's going to be some political cost to his own members. And if you think about this truck thing, let's not be fooled by anything here. First of all, you cannot include gantries on the Merritt and Wilbur Cross Parkway if this is trucks only, because trucks are banned up there. So you'd have gantries on 95, 91, 395, 84, and 691 at a minimum. And up around the bridges, they would probably make an exception there and include cars and vans and all non-commercial vehicles. But once they have their proverbial camel's snoot under the tent, all they have to do down the road is push a button and it will include all of us.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a brilliant plan and an irresistible one, even if you don't have the votes. But yeah, so they sit around. Tell us what goes on in the back room when you're at this stage. It's the summer, you failed all spring, and you just couldn't put together the votes. How do you strategize this?
Well, by singularly focusing on this one issue. You know, the governor, as inept as he has been, and he's shown time and time again that the guy's an amateur, but he's shaking up his staff, if you notice, today.
Yeah.
And that,
but not very much.
Not very much, but bringing in the former state senator Harris, I think, was, you know, if you're on his side of things, that's actually a wise move for the governor, in my opinion. But the bottom line is, if the governor understood how much power and leverage he has as a governor and how much patience he can have by rewarding people, not instantly so it's apparent, but a year from now or a year and a half from now or whatever it takes, this guy has a lot of power. And if he's able to focus that power and influence on a single issue over, you know, an extended period of time here, several weeks, and then Looney is twisting arms in the Senate, and Arasimowitz, the Speaker, is twisting arms in the House, and then all the special interest groups on the left, who never go away, by the way, I don't even think they go on vacation, they'll be up there cajoling and buttonholing and twisting arms as well, and then we, the unorganized public, are sitting back wondering what's happening.
Well, so why isn't that a realistic scenario for where we are right now, that they're looking at this and saying, oh, and by the way, maybe the problem is the governor gives up so much, right? If he goes back to the lie he told during the campaign and back over his flip-flop, right? If he backs up his car all the way back to before the election, he was saying tolls and bridges, trucks and bridges, right?
Yes. Now, keep in mind, Todd, it's going to take a while to get these gantries up, no matter where they are or how many there are. It will get them past another election. So once the 2020 election is over and these gantries start becoming functional around the state, after they get past another election, that's when they can make the switch and add vehicles and add gantries to the Merritt Parkway and Wilbur Cross Parkway as well.
Yeah, but all this takes 2-3 years anyway, right?
It does, and the only downside for the governor, who's counting on this cash, is he wanted to borrow against future toll revenue.
Mm.
So if he doesn't bring in the kind of dollars with trucks only and vans and cars and non-commercial, let's say up around the bridges in Hartford, he may not be able to borrow as much initially, but he'll bide his time. He'll make allowances for that in his spreadsheet, and he'll whack us hard in 2020 or 2021.
So what you're saying is that they want to monetize the tolls even before they exist. They want to start getting the money the day it gets approved. I would have to get approved by the feds, I would guess.
That's
before.
Right, and they may be able to expedite this. You know, if the congressional delegation, including our two U.S. senators, get on board, they may be able to expedite this and get it through the bureaucracy faster, and they can actually make a strong argument. Putting the politics aside for a minute, they can make a strong financial argument. Look, we've done all of this. Let's move on. But what we have to be very, very wary of is how quickly they would extend the gantries around the state and add cars and vans. Look, they are desperate right now to get something passed, which is why you're seeing this balloon floated by Looney. And again, understand who this guy is. He's the poster child for term limits. He's been up there 38 years. He knows his way around. He's a hardcore leftist theoretician. And we have to be honest about who he is. He's a smart guy. And he would not be doing this if he didn't think there was at least a chance of getting to 18 votes in the Senate.
Yeah. So what is, if you were to map out a quick game plan, you know, on the back of a napkin, what does it say about what the resistance should do, Tom Scott?
Well, the resistance, you know, yesterday when we talked about this, I said, you know, around the 21st or 22nd, when they go back into session of this month, start calling legislators. What I should have said, however, is only call Democrats, because here's a situation where we really don't have to worry about Republicans.
Why?
I would be shocked if we lost a single Republican.
Why are you so confident?
Well, let me say it's because I've heard from a lot of Republican legislators, and to a person, they have assured me that not a single Republican will vote for this. Certainly no Republican who is going to stand for re-election would vote for this, because they'd be primaried and they would lose in a primary. I don't think we have to worry about Republicans. I think they are philosophically on board, not just politically, some expedient way.
But hang on, you didn't say all Republicans. You said Republicans running for re-election. So,
well,
what
that's
if
all of them, though? That is, well
what
there
if
maybe some retirements? Okay.
What if there's some wonderful deal offered to somebody to retire, or as a, you know, a backup if he loses?
I don't see it, because I think Republicans understand how bad. Because I don't think Republicans have any sympathy for tolls. So what could the governor possibly offer them to sweeten the pot in order to get their vote? Now, look, we lost 13 Republicans on the income tax, but that was a very different landscape. Weicker was a Republican U.S. senator before he was governor, and he had a handful of sycophants in the Republican Party that would have, you know, walked over hot coals for him. So half of those, roughly half of those 13, we didn't have from the start. 13 is still a big number, and it's bigger than anybody wanted to see, but it was not a surprise that some Republicans voted for the income tax. I would be very surprised if any Republicans vote for the
income tax. Okay, so no Republicans. What does this do to tempt Democrats? What does a trucks only, a back to the campaign proposal from the governor, how does that seduce some Democrats who are afraid of the big shebang?
Well, two things. Let's assume for a minute that they're not that far off from 76 votes in the House and 18 votes in the Senate. Let's just take that as a given, because I don't think Looney would be pushing this if he thought the hill was too high to climb. If you say trucks only, you're in a sense bailing out the governor and making him an honest man again, because that's what he campaigned on. And it's easier for these guys, or at least they may think it's easier, to go back to their districts and say, well, look, it's not us. It's these out-of-state truckers that are going to be paying this, and they're doing a lot of damage to the roads, and we're going to put all that money. It's an easier argument. It does not get them off the hook, but it definitely is an easier argument. And in that rarefied air under the dome at the state capitol, when Looney's sitting down with these guys and pouring them a drink and saying, come on, guys, I need your vote, and we can sell trucks, you'd be amazed at how quickly these people in the unrealistic atmosphere up there in the Capitol think they can skate on this one, but they won't. They can't.
What do you mean they won't and they can't?
Because a Republican challenger at election time has a very easy argument to be made. What I would do is I would put up a gantry. I would do a mailing, repeated mailings, with gantries all around the district and say, this is what's coming, and Senator so-and-so made it possible. So forget whether it's trucks only or it's only gantries on certain roads or whatever. Once that door is open for tolls, I would be producing maps in every legislative district and say, coming to you soon, brought to you by Senator so-and-so and Representative so-and-so, and just shove it down their throat.
Wow. That sounds pretty scary. If you're an incumbent Democrat who votes for tolls, that's what you have to face.
Yeah, but up at the Capitol, you know, in the slow doldrums of the summer, and Looney making the argument, nobody on the inside making the other argument, and the public, you know, meaning us, busy with other things, they just might get away with it.
All right. Anything else you want us to know, Tom?
No, but again, when the 22nd rolls around and they're in session, pick up the phone. You don't need to call Republicans, but call Democrats. If you are represented by a Democrat senator or state rep, they need to hear from you on the 22nd of July.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
Tom Scott, former state senator. Always good to get your input. We will talk to you again soon. There is the lay of the land from the smartest guy in the biz, perhaps. 860-522-9842. The news is that Martin Luttig said this morning on the morning show that now what he's looking for is the governor's original deal.
If we can do a partial tolling through trucks and bridges plus additional bonding, I think we can achieve what we need.
All right. That's a little different from cars, from the big Ned flip-flop. What do you think? 860-522-WTIC. Stay with us. We'll take a quick break and then continue on News Talk 1080. It is WTIC. So the Democrats are back at it. The plunderers are back looking for more loot. They are not giving up on tolls. Isn't it a fascinating thing how committed they are to the idea of taking something you don't want them to have? How committed they are to passing something that isn't wanted? How committed they are to ignoring your wishes and taking what you don't have to give? 860-522-9842. Bill calling from Ellington. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Todd. Wonderful day out. Yeah, I was just listening to that last ad for the food truck convention down in Hartford this weekend.
Oh, yes.
And I have a good thriving business opportunity. Business would sponsor it. Did you hear who's sponsoring it? Connecticut DOT. You know, another waste of our taxpayers' money. We shouldn't be sponsoring any. The state shouldn't be sponsoring a food truck convention.
Well, what specifically were they promoting? What was the ad about? I didn't hear it.
Oh, come to Riverfront, Martinson Riverfront for the food truck convention. There'll be live music, events, get your phone recharged.
No, I mean the department. So they're just a image sponsor brought to you by the department. It just says it's supported by the Department of Transportation.
No, it said sponsored by the Department of Transportation.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to understand if they had a product they were trying to sell, information. So they were just branding themselves along with this event in order to create goodwill. That's interesting.
Well, I always think sponsoring means they had to, you know, had to go get the permits and pay a fee to use the Martinson Riverfront. You don't think they do that for free.
Yeah, could be. It could be. Usually the way sponsorships work is an event will just charge people a certain amount of money to be a sponsor, and then there's a certain amount of promotional consideration that's given in exchange, you know. So then the people who are running the event buy the ad on WTIC, and they give the naming of the sponsors on the ad. Follow what I'm saying?
I'm gonna have to go down and check it out, and if I see DOT, I'll get some information, and I'll call you on Monday.
Okay, yeah, just curious what they're getting out of it. Because, you know, your premise is you're upset that they're wasting money, and it sounds like you're right, that all they're trying to do is spend this money to create goodwill. They're not communicating an essential message. They're saying, come enjoy this event brought to you by the Department of Transportation. And the idea being, aren't we great partners in your life? Which is
correct.
Obviously a waste of money.
Right.
All right. Thank you for that, sir.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Good to hear from you, Bill. Stan in Manchester. Hi, Stan.
It's Dan, Todd. How you doing?
Oh, Dan. Hello,
yeah.
Dan.
Good. I was listening to your conversation with Tom Scott, and and he was talking about how Senator Looney wouldn't be talking about tolls in a special session if he didn't think he was close with a vote. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's pretty much the same scenario they had during the regular session. So I don't think it's really any that much different in regards to what happened during the regular session.
Well, just that it's this regular session is over, and in order to call a special session and have a vote on tolls, then that requires gearing up again, twisting arms, creating all of that pressure that was already there. So you're right, it did happen, but why would you go through it again if you're Martin Looney? Why would you put your Democrats who are thinking about their reelection bids?
Well, they may have a different strategy, but that doesn't mean they have any more votes than they did during the regular session. But one thing that wasn't discussed was the fact that as time goes on, there's growing opposition to the tolls, because the no tolls Connecticut people, such as myself, were out there talking to people and getting more feedback and informing them, and we're going to continue doing that. So the opposition is growing at the same time they might have a special session on
tolls. I think you're right, and also Democrats are out there in their neighborhoods hearing about how unpopular tolls are, so it's harder for them to come back now and want to vote for them. I agree with you. All Tom was saying was that Martin Looney, he doesn't think, would be going through this if he didn't see a path. Not that he's got it in place, but that he sees, oh, we might be able to get this guy and that guy and that guy if you offer them this new bribe and that new bribe, and we back off on the proposal so it's not so heinous.
It's probably just a variation on a theme, but I think it's pretty much that he and Governor Lamont are trying to save face at all costs.
Yeah, well, the best way to do that is to shut down the shop if it's never going to pass. But, you know, we'll see, Dan. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you.